Welcome to the W5BSA repeater.
Good evening, folks. QSP, this is Marty, WV5Y. Once again, time for another edition of the Houston AmSat Net. This net meets on Tuesdays to discuss topics related to satellites, balloons, and other amateur-related items. And this net is number 1646, and it's 8 p.m. Central Time on Tuesday, January the 13th, 2026. Which in UTC time is Wednesday, January the 14th, 2026 at 0200. This is a directed net, and all calls should go through net control. And this net is dedicated to Andy McAllister, W5ACM. And thanks to Joe, W5BSA, on the 145.19 repeater in West Houston. Also, the 443.325 repeater in Katy, they both have a PL tone of 123.0, and then there's also a connection to the 146.7 repeater and its network repeaters downtown, and the AMSAT DMR TOT group, 98006, YSF Fusion 11689, the All-Star node is 572580, and when they are working, those connections. And then, of course, there's always Echolink, and that's at star, AMSAT star. And I will now take any check-ins.
Whiskey, Delta, Five, Juliet, Romeo, Delta, 75, JRD, Carl, Jersey Village.
Good evening, Marty. Good evening, Carl. WD5JRD, WV5Y. You had a little bit of a hum with your signal, the last part of it there that time. So you might want to check things over a little bit, I guess, after the net or something. Okay, we got anybody else out there? Herbert, you have? Okay, well, we'll try coming back, you know, about 30 minutes in or halfway through our net here and see if we have any more check-ins to the Houston AMSAT net. Okay, we're starting with a little bit of information here from the South Texas Balloon Launch Team. And there's a little bit of update on BLT-150, which was the balloon that Marty... W5MF launched along with his kids there on Christmas Eve, and that balloon has been doing good. It's on its second lap around the world, and the beacon today over Saudi Arabia, so it's doing good there, still working, and it's still on its second trip around the world. So we're going to still keep paying attention, and glad to hear that that one is still flying high and doing good. And, of course, the South Texas Blue Launch Team holds their monthly meeting on the second Wednesday of the month and they have a meeting here at a local restaurant at 4:30, and then they have a meeting on the internet. And the internet meeting takes place at 8 p.m. Central Time, and that's at k5wh.net/zoom. So, of course, that is a Zoom meeting, and we appreciate Walter putting that on for us and letting anybody connect and find out what's going on there. So this is Marty, WV5Y in the Houston AmSat Net. Okay, anybody can call and check into the net by making a quick phone check-in to 713-467-9870. They can also send an APRS message, and that's to West Virginia 5 Yankee, with no dashes and no numbers, as Andy's like to say. And then you can also send an email, and that would be to wv5y@comcast.net. We're going over here to ANS News Service Weekly Bulletin, and this is number 11 from Mark Johns, K0JM. The AmSat News Service Bulletins are a free weekly news and information service of AmSat, the Radio Amateur Satellite Corporation. ANS publishes news related to amateur radio in space, including reports on activities of a worldwide group of amateur radio operators who share an active interest in designing, building, launching, and communicating through analog and digital amateur radio satellites. So the news feed over on www.amsat.org publishes news of amateur radio in space as soon as that volunteers can post it. So please send any amateur satellite news or reports to ans-editor@amsat.org. Okay, if you'd like to see the AmSat News Service bulletins show up automatically in your inbox every week, well, you can sign up for a free email delivery of the AmSat News Service bulletins. And to do that, it's via the ANS list. So to join the list, you go to mailman.amsat.org/pastorius/lists/ans.amsat.org. All right, action here that's been going on has been in the news here lately, and that is NASA ending the Crew 11 mission early due to a medical concern with an astronaut. Yes, NASA is bringing some of the crew aboard the International Space Station, the ISS, back to Earth early due to medical concerns with one of the astronauts. NASA officials announced on Wednesday, January the 7th, that they decided to cancel an upcoming spacewalk due to a medical issue with an undisclosed crew member. Hours later, the agency indicated that it wasn't ruling out an early end to Crew 11's mission and confirmed that the unnamed crew member was in a stable, non-emergency condition. NASA officials finalized the decision to bring the astronauts home in an announcement on Thursday, January the 8th. Mike Fink, KE5AIT, and Zena Cardman, KJ5CMN, have been scheduled to step outside the International Space Station on Thursday at about 1300 UTC, kicking off a roughly 6.5 hour extra vehicle activity, or EVA. But That spacewalk was postponed. Follow-up statement from NASA said, safely conducting our missions is our highest priority, and we are actively evaluating all options, including the possibility of an earlier end to Crew 11's mission. That crew includes both Cardman and Fink, as well as Japanese astronaut Kamiya Kui, KG-5BPH, and Russian cosmonaut Oleg Platonov. The crew was launched on August 1st, 2025, and was not scheduled for return until mid-February following the arrival of Crew 12.
CL-123.
The early return of Crew 11 shouldn't cause any delays in the preparations to roll out and launch the space agency's SLS, or the Space Launch System rocket, for Artemis II, the first crew mission to the moon in over 50 years. NASA Administrator Jared Isaacman said on Thursday, January the 8th, Artemis II is slated to roll to the launch pad for liftoff no earlier than February the 5th. I think it's actually February the 6th. Okay, let's thank space.com for that info. And you can read the full story over at www.space.com/international-space-station/ISS-astronaut-evacuation-shouldn't-interfere-with-upcoming-artemis-2-moon-mission-nasa-chief-says. And of course, thanks to Bruce, KK5DO, we've got this URL over there in a document at amsatnet.com, accessible from the front page. All right, this is Marty, WV5Y in the Houston AmSatNet. Hey, the AmSat remove before flight key tags are available, and they are the real thing. And they're lovely red with white embroidered lettering and logo. And your $29 donation goes to help fly a Fox Plus satellite. And it does include first-class postage, but sorry, it's for U.S. addresses only. But you can order today at www.amsat.org/product/amsat-remove-before-flight-keychain. Okay, as we covered actually last week, but here is a reminder that the AmSat membership now includes a free copy, additionally, of the Getting Started Guide, Getting Started with Amateur Satellites, very popular publication. AmSat is offering a limited time promotion for new and renewing members that includes a free digital copy of Getting Started with Amateur Satellites. The promotion is being offered as AmSat begins the 2026 membership year. Anyone who joins or renews their AmSat membership during the promotional period will receive a download link for the latest edition of Getting Started with Amateur Satellites in their membership confirmation email. The guide is designed to help radio amateurs understand the fundamentals of satellite operation and serves as practical reference for both newcomers and operators returning to the hobby. Additional information about AmSat membership is available over at launch.amsat.org. In addition to this limited time promotion, AMSAT membership includes a subscription to the AMSAT Journal, access to archived issues, discounts on selected items in the AMSAT online store, and opportunities to participate in AMSAT elections, committees, award programs, and other AMSAT activities and programs. Members may also access archived proceedings from the past AMSAT Space Symposiums through the AMSAT membership portal. Beyond these tangible benefits, AMSAT membership supports the development, launch, and operation of amateur radio satellites, along with education and outreach efforts. Joining AMSAT is not just about individual benefits. It is about being part of the community that builds and operates amateur satellites for radio amateurs worldwide. As AMSAT looks ahead to 2026, the promotion helps launch another year of growth and opportunity for amateur radio in space. And we want to thank Drew Glassbrenner, KO4MA, AMSAT President, for that information. And speaking of AMSAT President, the 2026 President's Club coins are here already, Matt, for the new year. So you can help support Golf and Fox Plus. The annual membership starts at only $120. You can join the AMSAT President's Club today and help keep amateur radio in space and, of course, add to your coin collection of the AMSAT President's Club coins. And the URL is www.amsat.org/join-v-amsat-presidents-club. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y in the Houston AMSAT Net. And looks like we're just past quarter past the hour here. So we're going to take a quick standby at this juncture, and we're going to take a look around and see who we've got checking in. Okay, let's see. Looks like we got Charlie, K5ENG, over there in West Houston. Dale, WD0AKO, up in Moorhead, Minnesota. Of course, that's the cold country these days. And he does the backup archiving of the audio for the website. So we appreciate him putting that on automatic mode there for us. We've got Vern, WA0RCR. He's out there in Wentzville, Missouri. And, of course, thanks to Vern, you can hear our net on 1.860 megahertz, a full carrier AM, along with Vern's show there. And that's at 5:30 p.m. and 9 p.m. Central Time on Saturdays. So we appreciate Vern putting us on the top band. And then we got Kai in 6ZZO. He's one of our podcast listeners. He calls and checks in. And he's out there in McKinleyville, California. So hope he's having a good year out there. All right, let's see. Check in from the Internet Relay Chat System. Our IRC, we've got Ken, AK0A, Clay, KG4OZW, and we also want to say hi to Rachy. And then we've got Brian, KG4WIJ, Renee, NZ9P, and Bob, K8WX.
Okay, we got a good question here coming from Steve, K5YFC. This one's probably one for Bruce to answer, so maybe he'll pipe up here on Echolink and give us some text. But Steve wants to know, do lifetime members get also the link to the AMSAT, the weekly, the Getting Started with Amateur Radio promotion, the guide. So we'll have to find out about that, if that's also available to lifetime members.
DL-123.
Okay, good question there, Steve, and caught me a little bit off guard on that one. But, all right, well, hopefully Bruce should know about that, and so hopefully he'll pipe up some information there. Let's see. Okay, we do have some check-ins here from Echolink, and that's Mitch, 80HJ. He's up there in Jackson, Minnesota, and, of course, thanks to Mitch, there's a Wednesday night AmSatNet that takes place on DMR, on digital. So, you can get on the AmSat DMR chat group 98006 or YSF Fusion, that's 11689, and that's at 9 p.m. Central Time on Wednesdays. And you can let Mitch and those guys know if you're going to be doing any roving or making any grid squares available to satellite operators. You might let them know about that. Okay, let's see here. Let's see, we've got, NASA marking 50 years of GOES satellites. NASA's Geostationary Orbital Environmental Satellites, or GOES program, started a revolution in meteorology and weather forecasting. With GOES 1, satellite source weather data could be sourced without waiting for the satellite to pass overhead. Previous satellites could only provide data at the times they were passing overhead. The first three GOES satellites carried an instrument called Visible and Infrared Spin Scan Radiometer, or the VISSR. This instrument enabled meteorologists to collect a wider range of data, as well as a fuller set of data than ever before. GOES 1 went up in 1974, with the next two arriving in the next 5 years. The second generation of GOES satellites added important weather observation instruments. With these, our understanding of phenomena such as El Niño and tropical storms improved greatly. Furthermore, beginning with GOES-7, an RF receiver was added as part of the Search and Rescue Satellite-Aided Tracking System, or SARSAT. From 1994 through 2001, the third generation GOES satellites reached orbit. Innovations included the ability to narrow the area under observation to better understand local weather events. GOES-12 also included the Solar X-ray Imager, or the SXI instrument, which added full disk X-ray observations of the sun to the toolkit of space weather watchers. Generation 4 satellites called GOES-N ushered in improvements to positioning with star tracker instruments. With these, the location of weather events could be more precisely determined. The extreme ultraviolet sensor added to space weather observations. Scan rates were quickened to 1-minute scans, which aided in understanding severe weather outbreaks and issuing warnings. The current generation of GOES satellites, known as GOES-R, added a variety of capabilities. These satellites feature the ability to narrow in and zoom out from local to global views with a choice of scan rates. Fire detection instruments were added for the first time ever on a geostationary satellite. Many hobbyists enjoy receiving direct L-band downlinks from these satellites. And ANS thanks Orbital Today for that information. And you can find the full article Okay, that link is over at orbital.com/2025/12/26/NASA-MARCS-50-years-of-GOES-satellites. And that's 50 is the number 50. All right, this is Marty, WV5Y in the Houston AMSAT net. Okay, if you need new satellite antennas, well, you can purchase M2 LEO packs from the AMSAT store. And they got it worked out so you get a bit of a discount when you purchase through AMSAT. And a portion of the proceeds goes towards keeping amateur radio in space. URL, it's at amsat.org/product-category/hardware. And, of course, that's a win-win situation there.
This is the W5BSA repeater.
Okay, looks like we got some more lists for this week. We've got the VUCC satellite standing for January 2026. And let's see, this is the satellite award endorsement chain summary for December 1st, 2025 through January 1st, 2026. All right, well, this is a little unusual. We've got the new person at the top of the list. Being new. We got a new person, but they are at the top of the list with 1,200 contacts in January. And that is PY2PIM. Okay, then we've got RA3DNC going from 599 to 824. N8MR from 801 to 809, AC9BX from 682 to 725, HB9GWJ from 631 to 651, BE4MM from 561 to 577. We've got N7UJJ going from 462 to 509, K5WO from 326 to 350. N9XG from 310 to 312, and SD8CKM going from 273 to 285. Okay, then we've got BU5DDC from 241 to 254, G4BWP from 150 to 200. WB9EWK and grid DM42 going from 189 to 194. E75AA, new on the list with 191 contacts.
could be B5TX going from 156 to 160. So we've got new on the list. We've got IK2XRL with 140. BY1QH is new with 126. We've got PT2VM going from 100 to 126. And we've got PU4ELT new with 100 contacts. And PY3YO new with 100 contacts. Okay, we want to say congratulations to the new VUCC satellite holders. And that is PY2PIM at the top of the list, E75AA, IK2XRL, BY1QH, PU4ELT, and PY3YO. Of course, PY3YO is the first VUCC satellite holder from grid GG32. PY2PIM, the first one from grid GG67. And PU4ELT is the first VUCC satellite holder from grid GH70. And we want to thank John Goering, N7AZ, for that information.
BL123.
Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y in the Houston AmSat Net. Okay, looks like we've got coming in 2026 is the SDR Gen 2, a new versatile GNU-based radio transverter, and that will have 144 megahertz to 6 gigahertz continuous coverage, direct VHF, UHF, 900 megahertz, LS, and C-band operations. Up conversion to 5 and dime capability, so it should cover 5 GHz and 10 GHz as well. Alright, it's going to be all mode, CW, single sideband, FT8, narrowband FM, SSTV, ATV, etc., all kinds of modes. Have a minimum downlink data rate of 1 MSPS, and it's built to fly on Fox Plus and the Golf missions. So we want to say thanks to the Ascent program, the Advanced Satellite Communications and Exploration of New Technology, and those AMSAT engineers keeping amateur radio in space. So we're still looking forward to that. Okay, looks like we do have some changes to the AMSAT TLE distribution for January the 9th, 2026. Two line elements, or TLEs, often referred to as Keplerian elements, or just KEPS is the abbreviation there in the amateur community, and they're the inputs to the STP-4 standard mathematical model of spacecraft orbits used by most amateur tracking programs. Weekly updates are completely adequate for most amateur satellites, and the TLE bulletin files are updated daily in the first hour of the UTC day. And new bulletin files will be posted immediately after reliable elements become available for new amateur satellites. Okay, you can find more information over at www.amsat.org/Keplerian-elements-resources. And the following satellite has been removed from this week's AMSAT TLE distribution, and that's IO86, or NORAD catalog ID 40931. And it says no new elements released for more than 180 days.
And we want to thank Joe Fitzgerald, KM1P, the AMSAT Orbital Elements Manager, for that information. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y in the Houston AMSAT net. Okay, looks like, speaking of ARIS, the amateur radio on the International Space Station, two United States schools or organizations have moved forward in the ARIS selection process. And, you know, before we jump into that, we're right just a little bit past the bottom of the hour here. So let's take a quick standby and see if we have any more check-ins. Any check-ins to the Houston AMSAT net, please come now. Okay, amateur radio on the International Space Station, or ARIS, is pleased to announce the U.S. schools / host organizations newly selected for 2026 ARIS contacts. A total of two of the submitted proposals during the recent proposal window have been accepted to move forward in the process of planning to host a scheduled amateur radio contact with crew on the International Space Station. Primary goal of the ARIS program is to encourage young people in science, technology, engineering, arts, and math, what they now call STEAM activities, and raise their awareness of space communications, radio communications, space exploration, and related areas of study and career possibilities. I like how they got that arts now in there. Get all those people with those liberal arts degrees. Okay, the ARIS program anticipates that NASA will be able to provide scaling opportunities for the two U.S. host organizations during the July through December 2026 period. They are now at work starting to implement their 4 to 6 month education plan, which was outlined in their proposal. These STEAM-based educational activities help prepare students for their contact, as well as create an ongoing exploration and interest in aerospace and amateur radio topics. They are also completing an acceptable equipment plan that demonstrates their ability to execute the ham radio contact. Once the equipment plan is approved by ARIS, the final selected schools or organizations will be scheduled as their availability and flexibility match up with the scheduling opportunities offered by NASA. Okay, the school and host organization are YODA, the summer camp in Huntsville, Alabama, seeking a contact date between June 14th and 19th, 2026. Okay, then there's also the University Heights School of Medical Arts in Jonesboro, seeking a contact date between July and December 2026. Amateur radio on the International Space Station, or ARIS, is a cooperative venture of international amateur radio societies and the space agencies that support the International Space Station. in the United States. Sponsors are the American Radio Relay League, the ARRL, Amateur Radio Digital Communications, ARDC, the Radio Amateur Satellite Corporation, of course, AMSAT, NASA Space Communications and Navigation Program, or SCAN, and the ISS National Lab Space Station Explorers. Primary goal of ARIS is to promote exploration of science, technology, engineering, the arts, and mathematics topics. ARIS does this by organizing scheduled contacts via amateur radio between crew members aboard the ISS and students. Before and during these radio contacts, students, educators, parents, and communities take part in hands-on learning activities tied to space, space technologies, and amateur radio. For more information, you can go to www.aris.org. And we want to thank Dave Jordan, AA4KN, Aris PR, for that information.
PL123.
Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y, in the Houston AmSatNet. I want to remind everybody once again that you can follow along with any of the links we discuss or the topics by checking out www.amsatnet.com, which is our website there, done thanks to Bruce, KK5DO. And he's got a lot of, as well as the links, there's also a lot of good satellite award information up there, since he is the satellite award guy, as well as board of directors for AMSAT. So if you'd like to find out how to get an award or a certificate for making a satellite contact, even your first one, well, you can just go to www.amsatnet.com and check out that info there. And then also, there's a lot of good information for satellite operators over at amsat.org. If you want to find out the status of the satellites, like which ones are operating at the moment and which ones are having issues, and find out the uplink frequencies and downlink frequencies and the telemetry frequencies, and you can even buy satellite antennas from the store and find out information about when the symposium is coming up next year. That's over at www.amsat.org. Okay, let's see. For our actual ARIS news, let's see. Amateurs and others, of course, around the world may listen in on those contacts going on between the amateurs operating in the schools and allowing students to interact with astronauts and cosmonauts aboard the International Space Station. And, of course, the downlink frequency on which to listen to all the worldwide activity, that's on 145.800 megahertz. Okay, we don't currently have any scheduled contacts for the coming week, but sometimes the school may make a last-minute decision to do a live stream or run into a last-minute glitch requiring the change of their URL, but those folks over at ARIS may not get the URL in time for publication. So you can always check out live.aris.org to see if a school is live streaming. And if you ever listen for a pass but don't hear anything, if there is an EVA, a docking, or an undocking, the ARIS radios are turned off as part of the safety protocol. So that's probably the reason. And the crossband repeater continues to be active when none of those things are going on. And it's on 145.990 megahertz up with a PL tone of 67. And then you listen on 437.800 megahertz, which is the downlink. And if any crew member is so inclined, all they have to do is pick up the microphone, raise the volume up on the radio, and they can talk on the crossband repeater. So give a listen. You just never know. You might have your chance to talk to an astronaut and then get one of those QSL cards. Okay, the service module radio is currently not in APRA's configuration. It's only being used for voice contacts at this time. Default mode is for packet operations on 145.825 MHz up and down, but occasionally it's used for slow scan TV events, and they happen on 145.800 MHz down. The ham TV is configured, and of course it's up on 2395 MHz, and its default mode is for scheduled digital amateur radio television operations. Okay, the latest information on the operation mode for the International Space Station can be found over at www.arif.org/current-status-of-iss-stations.html. And the latest list of frequencies in use can be found at arif.org/contact-v-iss.html. And we want to thank Charlie Safana, AJ9N, one of the ARIS Operation Team mentors, for that information. And this is Marty, WV5Y in the Houston AmSatNet. Well, you can fly the colors of your own grid expedition. So, especially if you're getting out there doing some of those roves and whatnot, well, you just might want to get an Amtrak car flag or some other neat stuff from our Zazzle store. And if you do, 25% of the purchase price of each product goes towards keeping amateur radio in space. And the URL for that, it's right over at www.zazzle.com/store/AMSAT_gear. Okay, we do have a couple of activities here popped on the list. We're down to the AMSAT Ambassador Activities list. Of course, AMSAT ambassadors provide presentations. They demonstrate communicating through amateur satellites and host information tables at club meetings, AmFest, conventions, maker fairs, and other events. And we have Hamcation, the big ham radio convention going on February 13th through the 15th, 2026. That's at the Central Florida Fairgrounds and Expo Park in Orlando, Florida at 4603 West Colonial Drive. And that's 32808. And you should see AA4KN there putting on the AMSAT stuff and the booth there for Hamcation for AMSAT. All right, then, coming up March 21st, 2026, the Midwinter Madness Hamfest in Buffalo Civic Center, 1306 County Road 134 in Buffalo, Minnesota, and that's 55313, and you should see K0JM and 80HJ there, so that's a great group right there. All right, if you're interested in becoming an AMSAT ambassador, of course, we didn't mention, but in between there is probably the Greater Houston Hamfest is going to be coming up probably around the 1st of March. Okay, Well, if you'd like to find out information or become an AMSAT ambassador, and then you can be the one providing presentations and giving demonstrations about communicating through amateur satellites and hosting information tables at HamFest and conventions and maker fairs, well, you can find out more info by going over to www.amsat.org/ambassador. And we'll thank Bo Lowry, W4FCL, the director of the AMSAT Ambassador Program, for that information. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y, in the Houston AMSAT Net. Lock it. Dash one, that's capital L, capital A, capital C, capital H, capital I, capital T, dash one, or the Live Amateur Communication Hub for Innovative Technologies. First satellite developed by the Assam Don Bosco University, the ABBU, in Northeast India. Is scheduled for launch aboard the Indian Space Research Organization's PSLV-C62 rocket on January the 12th.
PL-123.
Okay, that should have just gone. The Lockheed One mission is a student-led initiative involving more than 50 students and faculty members drawn from across the Northeast, including Assam, Meghalaya, Nagaland, Arunachal Pradesh, and Manipur states. Satellite will carry a UHF downlink using 2-FSK modulation at up to 9600 kb, with store and forward capability and a CW beacon. Frequencies for telemetry and data downlink on 436.175 MHz, and for the beacon, it's on 435.360 MHz. And those have been coordinated by the International Amateur Radio Union, or the IARU. So they did it the right way. And AMS thanks Northeast News and the AIRU for that information. A live satellite communication demonstration with the International Space Station was successfully conducted in Pansala village in India, and that's in Gujarat, on the 29th of December 2025, with more than 12,000 students assembled. The Live Science and Space Outreach Program was conducted with the active support of AMSAT-India and Upagraha Amateur Radio Club, UPARC, at Indian Space Research Organization's URAO Satellite Center. Basic concepts like ham radio, satellite communication, uplink and downlink, azimuth, elevation, frequencies, etc., and satellite tracking were explained so students could understand the upcoming live ISS pass. Three confirmed two-way contacts were made during the single ISS pass before what may be one of the largest crowds ever assembled for a satellite demonstration. And ANS thanks Rajesh Vagadia, VU2EXP Regional Coordinator of AMSAT India, for that information. Yep. 2025 was a banner year for shattering launch records worldwide. The 324 orbital launch attempts in 2025 represented a 25% increase from 2024's previous record of 259. Almost 60% of all launch attempts came from the United States, with SpaceX conducting 170 of the 193 American launches. And in second place was China with 92 launches during the year. And we want to thank Space News for that information. Changes are going on. SpaceX is lowering orbits of 4,400 Starlink satellites to 480 kilometers throughout 2026, reducing ballistic decay time by 80% and preventing orbital debris accumulation risks. Lower altitude decreases collision risk in increasingly crowded low Earth orbit. Deorbiting faster prevents long-term orbital contamination. Massive orbital reconfiguration represents proactive response to congestion challenges. Nearly half of Starlink's 9,400 operational satellites will require attitude adjustments. The current 550-kilometer orbit sits within crowded, debris-prone regions. Proposed 480-kilometer altitude places satellites in a less congested orbital band. And ANS thanks NASA Space News for that information. Of course, it'll be a less congested orbital band until they make that change. Okay, NASASpaceNews.com/2026/01/SpaceX-lowering-orbits is where you can find that article and check it out. Of course, that link is also available for you over at AmSatNet.com. Thanks to Bruce. This is Marty, WV5Y, with the Houston AmSatNet. AmSat UK is pleased to announce they will be holding a webinar to advise European amateurs regarding the ESA/CCSDS sponsored outreach competition to develop reference protocols at 1600 UTC on Wednesday, the 14th of January. The webinar will be via Zoom, and the event will be recorded. Note, this competition is for European and UK hams only. For information and registration, you can go to amsat-uk.org/2026/01/06/webinar-4-ccsds/competition. And we want to thank AmSat UK for that information. Okay, you can join AmSat today, and that's by going over to launch.amsat.org. And in addition to regular membership, AmSat offers membership to societies, which is a recognized group, club, or organization. And then after last year's symposium, they made a big change, and students are now eligible for free membership up to the age of 25. And memberships are also available for annual and lifetime terms. And we still haven't forgotten about C-K-5-Y-F-C question there. So we'll still have to try to find out if those annual folks there who have an annual AMSAT subscription will be getting a link to the Getting Started with Amateur Satellites guide. So who knows, we'll find out about that one at some point. Okay, you can contact info@amsat.org for additional membership information. So that might be a place to ask the question if you're a lifetime member and you want to know if you've got your link or can get your link to the Getting Started with the Amateur Satellites Guide. So we say from this week, ANS editor Mark Johns, K0JM, 73, and remember to help keep amateur radio in space. And that's from mjohns@amsat.org. Okay, the ANS is a service of AMSAT, the Radio Amateur Satellite Corporation. They reside at 712 H Street, ME, Suite 1653, Washington, D.C., 20002. So we hope everybody enjoyed this week's version of Houston AMSAT Net. Stay safe out there, everybody. I know the, especially the flu seems to be getting bad out there. So keep playing with those radios, making lots of satellite contacts, and we'll look forward to catching everybody next week. So from Andy, W5ACM, Bruce, KK5DO, up there in Roman Forest, myself, Marty, WV5Y, we say 7-3 for this week from the Houston AMSAT Net.
DL-123.